and welcome to the Straight Out of Nowhere Scooby-Doo Meets Courage the Cowardly Dog Spoiler Cast from the Gigaboost Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dan Video Games, and with me is Bob.
Ruh-roh.
From Gigaboots, KZ from KZExcellent.com. And Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
I'm LaQuack, I guess. That feels the most fitting.
It's going to be that or I didn't vote for this podcast. We definitely didn't relate you to things at all.
I, you know, once we started at this is probably Feel's house, we moved on to this is how Feel would greet a mayor he never voted for.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah, at one point you're like, Feel at 50.
I really enjoy the part where it's like, the mayor goes, we didn't invite you here. And then he goes, well, that's good because I didn't vote for you either, so I guess we're even. It's really good.
And he's like, and then he tells a knock knock joke about it later.
Yes. Oh man. Guess who didn't vote for you? Me. You know, we review a wide range of content for this podcast network. We do video games, we do anime, we do Netflix anime, somehow a distinct category.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Thank you, Capcom.
Yeah, Netflix anime all related to Capcom that makes you like, that makes you go, Capcom, just fire your entire cross-media team.
We have two categories here. We have stuff like, you know, Castlevania, something Netflix bankrolled, and then things they found in Capcom's dumpster that they put on their surface.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we thought this would be a really good fit since, you know, October and whatnot. You want to get Courage the Cowardly Dog content out there for the people to see. And man, if you're a Courage fan, I think you're well fed. But we got to get to the structure of the show. First off, we do a 1 or 2 sentence summary, make a sound, and once we're all each done doing that, we start digging in with thoughts we had, favorite parts, least favorite parts, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of all of this, we're going to give it a maximum score of 40, 10 points each, Famitsu style, to decide whether or not this is as good as, let me check, 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. I think that's what we're comparing.
We have to compare it to whatever our highest bar for media is, which might in fact be Rise of Skywalker.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I feel if we rank only media we've watched, I think that might be our highest one.
That is fucking, we need to branch the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yes.
As it turns out, if we watch a good thing, it usually shows up on Bless Blondent Blub and not as a spoiler cast.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, basically. Well, you know, you can always aspire to do better than the McRib.
It's hard not to, actually.
Oh, true. We can include food in there, too.
I heard food might be media, so I think it's fair to compare these. So let's get to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with Mr. Feel. Mr. Feel, 2-sentence summary and a sound.
The Courage Scooby-Doo crossover is really great, even if it's really heavily weighted in one direction rather than the other. So I'm going to give it a ooh.
Bob.
This is honestly more Courage content than I'd ever see again. I'm going to give it a ooh.
KZ.
It's been like 20 years since they canceled Courage the Cowardly Dog, and you're reminded, why did they do that? That show is basically a 10. This gets an ooh. Oh, no. And then my eyeballs fly away.
Ooh! Yeah, basically what they said. I feel like you could have just turned out a Courage the Cowardly Dog movie and it would be just as good. And I don't know why they didn't do that. That seems like a really good fit for that IP and a really in-demand thing for streaming platforms. Turn it into Columbo. Just make films like 4 times a year. I'm going to give it a
If Courage becoming Columbo is the funniest thing I think you've ever said.
It's like Cartoon Network spinning up their ABC, what did they call it? Like weeknight movie? Like they added such a specific branded term for what Columbo was.
Yeah, this Columbo thing's killing me. You're very perceptive, small dog.
Okay, so let's get to it. I was not certain that I would enjoy this. I was hopeful because it's Courage. I love Courage and I love Scooby-Doo. But I was burned. I was burned by Scoob. And, and though I know at an intellectual level, Scoob cannot be created outside of the Hollywood system.
True.
Part of me just went, I've been burned by Scooby-Doo. I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to. And the moment I turned to realize I would like this was the moment that the Courage the Cowardly Dog panic theme started playing in Scooby-Doo's head, driving him insane and making him dance.
Yeah, that would be in the first 80 seconds of the movie.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. I really like Scooby-Doo immediately runs off and, you know, Daphne just goes, sorry, we couldn't finish this correctly. It's a family emergency. We have to go. And the killer clown who's stealing money from banks is just like, nice.
Yeah, he's like, oh, man, I guess I win. And then I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good.
Did anyone else feel like the intro thing they did with music and they had the full credits for the voice actors felt like a direct stab at Scoob?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen Scoob, but I've watched a bunch of these direct-to-video Scooby-Doo things, and I think a lot of them have that.
Okay.
Okay, because I hadn't seen anything where they put the voice actors that much in the forefront.
Maybe they didn't have the voice actors, but I think the first WWE one did.
Hmm.
Yeah, here it kind of felt like that, because, like, Scoob, we replaced all of them with celebrities.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was weird and not a great fit, and nowhere near the top of that fucking thing's problems.
Oh yeah, no, not at all. It's just something that hit my mind.
Oh yeah, no, it's a nice change, you know, coming over from Scoob, seeing them be like, hey, here are our voice actors. We're very proud of them.
Yeah, instead of here's the live action version, Seth Rogen is Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Wow, man.
Here's who's playing Eustace, Chris Pratt.
Oh, I was going to say, like, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson is Eustace.
You know who voted for you? Not me. That would kill
sorry,
me.
He only hit my head because he was in the new Venom.
Now I'm imagining Eustace played by that guy who plays Alfred in Batman.
Michael Caine?
Yeah, Michael Caine.
What do we fall, Courage?
Ooh.
Booga, booga, booga.
Oh, no. Okay, that's too much. But yeah, watching this, I thought it was kind of hilarious that they're like, whatever, I guess they live close enough to nowhere to just be lured there by music.
Yeah, the thought that the Scooby Gang can go anywhere is pretty prevalent in any. Yeah,
that's true.
Any Scooby media.
Yes, they have a van where they solve mysteries. A very confusing concept to Muriel.
That might be the best one of my favorite jokes of the entire thing. Where they're like, "Yeah, we solve mysteries," and Fred goes, "And we have a van."
I just got it re-decaled. He's very excited to talk about that. I appreciate the part where Daphne's like, yeah, I got some real equipment installed while you did that.
Except Fred also did, because he's like, use the grappling hook.
I know. He's like, Daphne, handle this. And I'm like, so is he aware of some of the things she did and not the others? What is?
Yeah, he is not aware of the nitrous that was installed.
Yes, that was behind his back, but everything else.
Clearly, that's just a setup for when they meet the cast of Fast and the Furious.
I would watch that.
That'd be amazing.
That seems like it has a way higher chance of happening than you think it would. They fucking crossed over with Supernatural.
Yeah, I know. I said that because I'm like, it'll be real, it'll happen, and they'll learn the value of family.
We have official media of Shaggy being possessed by the Netherrealm and choking Scorpion.
See, I like this concept because then Vin Diesel and Scooby-Doo get stuck in a room and the power goes out and they're in the dark and he goes,
I hate you, because he would be so involved producer-wise that would get in.
He would be like, hey, can I write in a Riddick line?
And they're like, you're paying for the entire film, so sure.
The co-writer's just like, are you... Of course. You just asked, can I write an erotic line? Of course yes. You can. Go write the fuck ahead.
This costs us $0.
Yeah, this is one of those great jokes in animation, which requires no drawings. But yeah, no, I was surprised. Watching this, though, there are a number of continuity problems that are kind of funny, but don't really pull away or distract too much from the plot, where it's just like, the mayor's gonna not walk them to the museum, and then the next shot is them in the museum, and the mayor's like, okay, enjoy yourselves. And we're like,
oh, I thought that was just a joke.
wait, what? There are several other shots, too, where none of it, like, continuity-wise makes sense, which is really weird for animation, but, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a real problem. The only time the animation itself was distractingly bad is when they, you know, they'll do the insects as two-dimensional, and then they'll change it to be three-dimensional. It'll be real rough, because they keep doing it per scene, per shot, even, where it's just, like, in this close-up, these crazy cicadas are, like, or cicadas are, like, really high fidelity 2D, and then you cut to them looking like balloons.
I kind of like that, because Courage always did that sort of weird they're CG now, but look kind of bad.
In Courage, they would either be CG the whole time or they would be 2D the whole time. Like, I feel like most things in Courage that were 3D were just always 3D.
Yeah, maybe. Because I think of, like, the Return to Slab guy, and he is always 3D.
Yeah, he's always 3D.
I like
which is great.
We saw the slab.
Yeah, no, that was a really good museum. They're like, hey, remember Courage stuff? We do. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, they had everything
I think
there.
I think probably my favorite thing like that in the whole movie was, look at our flag! Has a paragraph of text on it.
Yes.
I did not notice the paragraph of text on the flag.
It's really good.
Yeah, it says exactly what he says. Like, it's almost like, nowhere has per capita more weird, bizarre events than anywhere else in the entire world. And the mayor goes, yes, it's on our flag. And points, and that exact sentence is on the flag.
Yes. It's really good.
They had some goals in this movie. Like, we will explain every episode of Courage through this movie.
I'm going to be honest. I said into this going, I hope someone from the Scooby-Doo gang tries to rip off Cat's face. And they delivered, so I'm like,
I can't believe you thought about that. I had forgotten about Cats. I always remember LeQuack, though.
For some reason, LeQuack to me did not occur to me as a character they would try to rip the face off of, probably because it looks like a normal duck, whereas Cats is, like, big
and
bipedal. So I'm just like, if they could try to rip his face off, this is a pretty good movie. They tried to do that, and they're trying to talk him down, and he's like, no, this is my real face. Please stop.
And I feel like they made Cats even more, like, weirdly human-looking in this one to even more facilitate that, because he's, like, more spindly and weird-looking, I think, in the show. They adjusted his model a little bit to make more sense that they're trying to just rip his face off.
It's really good. I appreciated it. I appreciate, like, the writing in this is really good.
Yeah.
If we compare it to the bar of, what was it, the Jetsons meet the WWE, I would say the writing's an even higher notch in this. Though that was really good.
I'm not trying to undersell that one.
Mm. That had many good bits involving the Big Show.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, no, I was kind of surprised, because while I've seen animated Scooby-Doo movies before that were really good, I think the writing here was really top-notch. Like, it was a lot of laughter watching that. You know?
Yeah, I was surprised how well they mixed them. Like, I was a little worried at the very beginning of where Scooby wasn't understanding human language anymore. I thought that would be a bit for the whole thing.
I forgot about that, where it's just like, Scooby-Doo.
They're doing the Charlie Brown thing. It's literally the same sound effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Won't Scooby-Doo.
It's really good. He's just losing his mind, so now he can't understand people, and he processes them like Courage talks, basically.
Yes.
I like that thanks to the Courage inclusion, we get multiple moments of both him and Scooby opening their entire mouth, and you just see that shot.
Yes.
As they either fly up or about to shit themselves.
I really appreciate, like, they have that whole angle with the audiobooks they're listening to that try to help them calm down.
Yes.
So they're like, opening up about their deepest fears, and they're like, how about you, Courage? What's your deepest fear? And he just transforms into three different villains from his show.
Yeah.
And Scooby goes, or Shaggy goes, I have no idea what you just said, but, you know, I feel it.
I feel it, man. I was like, I don't remember that thing from the show where it's just a foot with a face on each toe.
Oh, yeah, that's real.
I don't remember that one.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, it was horrifying. Yeah. The fact he turned into that is horrifying.
Yeah, that one's rough.
The amount of times his eyes extended to look like the bug in this movie.
Yes. Where they just look like hot dogs that got squeezed. Or when Scooby and Courage get scared and then both of their heads rip off. So Scooby's head gets half of it's ripped off its body and spins in the car.
Yes. That was really funny when they just swap heads. Like it just flies around in midair and then puts them back where they go. I'm like, what in the world's happening?
That car chase was insane.
You expect that to be 2 minutes and not eight.
Yeah, that thing went on at least twice as long as anyone would expect.
Yes. And then it, you know, caps off with Eustace going, you fucked up my car. Don't worry, I think it's fine.
That whole sequence was like so I just could only think of them fighting the Wheel of Fortune in Stardust Crusaders. Because it even ends almost the same way.
I'm trying to remember which one that was.
That's the one that's just a car.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Where you're like, how is this still happening? The idea of that entire skit is Eustace is going to get in the car. The cicada just got in the car. Where's Eustace at all? He will not show up until the chase is done.
Yeah, he somehow gets there. And then he gets to the mayor's house with them, too. It's like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, so no, it that would be one of those, like, how is this happening moments.
I felt like that was just a misdirect because it's like, no, they want you to think the bug is Eustace for some reason.
Yeah, but that doesn't.
Well, Velma says that at the end, Dan. She's like,
oh, that's true.
Well, a lot of the clues here don't make sense. Oh, well.
Yeah, see, that was one of my favorite bits is them being like, to be honest, Eustace, we thought it was you. And I'm like, yeah, Eustace is typecast as the bad guy from a Scooby-Doo thing for sure.
Yes. He's
grumpy fucking old man who's scary. I was like, that's so perfect. I'm glad they said that because that's all I could think when I first heard about this team up. I'm like, yeah, Eustace would be the bad guy. He's the guy haunting the factory.
God, I actually wonder if he was based on Scooby-Doo villains originally.
Oh, yeah. You would think at some level they would be like, we have a show about a pseudo-talking dog. Maybe we should look at Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that is true.
He does put on a mask and scare the dog.
Right, he always does that thing.
Yeah, it doesn't get old, as he said 3 or 4 times in this movie.
I like the part where he just pulls it up made of food from the fridge.
Yes, made out of, like, lettuce and tomato.
It was really good. Can we talk about how there is a Eustace rap in this, and somehow it went over way better than the Porky Pig rap in Space Jam 2?
That's because he had hot bars.
Stop talking about that rap.
Look.
Also, he made his Ooga Booga mask out of bling.
Yes, that was really
that was
funny.
Pretty good.
Also, once again, it fucks me up. That is where the title of this movie came from. Straight out of Compton parody, straight out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
The title of this movie came from the rap video. And I'm like, oh my God.
That was very bizarre.
Yeah.
This is why I always forget his shirtless design where you must see every part of his spine.
Yes. Yeah. It's worth noting that Eustace is actually a caricature of John R. Dilworth, the creator of Courage the Cowardly Dog. he's not as old.
Mm-hmm.
But it is 100% a caricature, and you can see it looking at him. Like, it's not subtle.
I don't know what you're talking about. Look, he's just setting goals.
I really
This is what I'm gonna be like when I'm 90. I will have no teeth.
I will scare the shit out of my dog. It will be very funny.
There
will
be heavy bite marks in anything that I eat in this film. Despite it just being gums.
I know, right? I'm glad someone else noticed, because when they try to eat the really hard bread, it left bite marks. And I'm like, you don't have teeth, Eustace.
He's very powerful. It was his lips.
Well, it's like how your skin gets calloused eventually and becomes like hard. That's his gums.
Oh, that's rough.
I really appreciated one of the jokes in here early on when they go into the house. They're in the kitchen. They're doing a scene for a bit, ignoring the part with the hair thing, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, hey, Shaggy, you got something on you. And you're like, what? And they do that for about 15 seconds. He turns around, a giant cicada's just strapped to him. And it's like, oh, man, that was hiding there really well.
I like how calmly Muriel's trying to deal with it.
Yeah.
Her character's so good.
Yeah, that's on brand. I don't know how 20 years later she's able to go into that voice perfectly.
I know. It's so good.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, she did such a great performance.
This is the last thing she was ever credited for, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly, that is not the same Eustace.
Oh, is it not?
It is not. It is the third one because
God.
The first one passed in 2003, and I think the second one passed in 2019.
Whoa.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
I did not even notice. I feel a little bad.
I assumed it was just performance drift. You know, most voice actors have that a little.
Yeah, it could be that. It felt more pronounced when Muriel's like, oh my God. Wow.
I was just surprised. That is the right courage, right? Because that seems incredibly courage voice.
That feels perfect.
Yeah, I think everybody else is the same thing. A thing I just learned existed that I have to fucking find and watch. There was a CG special only aired in Southeast Asia where Eustace is Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, I guess Southeast Asia really likes courage.
It was apparently a pilot for a CG revival that never took off. So, like, we're not going to show this in the United States. We'll just show it in Southeast Asia.
Yeah. I actually did hear about
which is like how there was a Johnny Bravo movie they only showed in India.
Yes. Yeah, that shit's real weird.
You know, I usually don't like the shows going CG, but I think Courage it could really have worked for because they already had a lot of elements of that, and it being creepy is really high up there on bad CG's list of things to do.
Yeah. Yes. Uncanny Valley would like elevate it.
Yeah. I really appreciate when they first get to nowhere and Eustace is watching that awful TV show that's got live action and with bananas.
With the banana in his ear that keeps spinning. Yeah,
yeah, it's
that's the story.
I like that literally all of them stand in front of the TV.
Yes, all fucking six of them or whatever just in front of the fucking TV in his way. It's real fucking good.
I appreciate how long they do that bit with the giant cicada of teaching them to become an exterminator.
Yes.
That was really good.
Where it goes for 3 minutes, makes them sign shit. It's like, the only good bugs are dead bug.
And then they're like, yep.
Yeah, when it just starts talking, it's like, this is really gone off the deep end. Thank you.
This is going like in places I didn't expect, which I haven't seen nearly as many of these newer like comedy ones. Because the most Scooby-Doo things I saw was either James Gunn's live action ones and the entire set of animated ones where they tried to make them a bit more grounded.
Oh, like Zombie Island?
Yeah, like Zombie Island and the one with the goth bitches in it. that awakened things in possibly everyone I know.
Zombie Island repurposed SWAT Cat script.
That's insane.
When's the Squat Cats crossover?
I don't know.
I think Ted Turner had that buried because he was attracted to Miss Briggs.
Yeah, you nailed it. I really appreciated the Exterminator bit because I was like, oh shit, right, Scooby-Doo movies do this. Like, yeah, it's been so long since I saw one that did it.
Yeah.
Right, like at the classic Scooby-Doo joke, but I feel like this is it maybe executed better than ever before.
Yes. It's they do that and immediately transition to the door section.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the door section, but I feel like the song didn't hit me as hard as I feel like it could have. Like, I feel like they could have done better.
Yeah. It could have been something like, you know, today is all right for tonight. You know, they could have just played a song like that while they run around. Or
we need to actually license some Beatles again.
You know, while I was stuck on Paramount Plus, paying the tax I pay for watching The Harper House, which is really good for anyone who's listening to this, maybe check that out. I see Daria's on there. And I start playing Daria, and I'm like, oh, right, this is the version where they had to strip out all of the licensed music, because MTV, when they were doing those animated shows, they had expensive music. They had real-ass music.
I was struggling to find the through line in this, sidebar, and I'm so glad there is one.
There is a through line, yeah.
I had no faith.
It was just this moment of like, oh, right, no, they can't license. Oh, of course not. And like, we're not just going to start playing Teen Spirit in the middle of a fucking animated cartoon. But yeah, it would have been nice if they got a slightly better song for that. I agree with you, Bob. Elsewise, I felt like the soundtrack was pretty good.
Yeah.
Even when it becomes a music video during the ending subterranean segment.
God, now I'm just thinking of how many times they'll use the Courage theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's always really good.
Yes. The entire time they're digging to it.
Yes.
And I'm like, they're just shaking their ass downward.
Yes, it's really good. The Courage panic theme. Yeah. I appreciated that the intro was repurposed as an infomercial. Like, about the city.
Yeah, that was good.
That was like, oh man, how fucking solid.
So many just really smart things. And I was a little worried they would try and over-explain stuff in Courage. But they touch on that a little bit, but it doesn't feel like... It feels like this is something, this is part of it, but this isn't the entire reason Nowhere is the worst place in the world.
It's just, you know, a good chunk of it.
Most of it is from a dumb rock.
Yes.
From space full of black matter or dark matter.
Which I'm like, sure, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that fits.
Right. This is almost certainly the finale of Courage Now, so sure, go ahead.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, would you even have cats in Pepe Le Pew there?
Yeah,
that's not his name. Oh, no.
Le Quack.
Le Quack.
You really overcomplicated this one.
Yeah, I did.
I like how I half heard him, so I thought he said Pepe Le Puke.
But yeah, them both being inside of the machine that was the villain was absolutely farcical.
And
yes.
The butler and the fucking maid are just the military guys going, man, we're just going to use this as a weapon.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I appreciated this. It was very, very funny. Genuinely hilarious at times. My expectations coming in were not nearly as high as this hit.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I was worried whenever we do something available on VOD for a spoiler cast. Usually it ends up us running into a wall, but thankfully Capcom didn't make Scooby-Doo.
Yes, thank Christ.
Yeah, thankfully these Scooby-Doo things are usually winners. The only one that I've seen that I didn't really like was the Blue Falcon one, which was bad.
Oh, funny that you say that.
Oh my god, really? They did a Blue Falcon one? Like Scoob, and also bad?
They did a Blue Falcon one, and the reason I didn't like it is because like they didn't use what they do in every other crossover and make Blue Falcon a superhero. Here he's just like Adam West, and then Blue Falcon was a TV show, and I'm like, that's not fun. And then it also wasn't good.
That's different from the direction they go in with Scoob. At least it's not the same exact mistakes,
right?
In both.
I almost watched the where they're like, we made a sequel to the Zombie Island one, and then everyone's like, it's terrible. I'm like, okay, damn it,
they almost got me.
They almost got me.
I can
I
can endorse the Batman Brave and the Bold one from a couple of years ago, and also both WWE ones. All three of those are really good.
Now, I knew about the WWE ones. I did not know about the Batman Brave and the Bold crossover with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, because it's a crossover with the show they had done, and that was like a pretty decent show also. So
that's what I hear, yeah.
It's fun.
Seriously, if we go the next 10 years without some streaming service, be like, yeah, we'll pick up Courage the Cowardly Dog for like a limited run, I'll be surprised. I feel like you could make that.
This didn't even have the creator in it, and now Thea White has passed, so I feel like this the climax of this is Courage being brave, so I feel like this is like probably the sequel for, I mean, not the sequel, probably the finale for a while. Things always come back because Capitalism.
Right. I was like, none of this matters to capitalism. But I mean, in your average episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog, he has to be brave because mole people or whatever grab Murray on the run.
Right. They outwardly say it this time, but it does feel like a typical arc for him.
Yes. At least it forms the character arc of this film. You know, like they have the whole self-help fear thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they give some nice arcs and developments for people, like how Courage's computer is going to fuck Velma's iPad.
God, that Velma was really good. Slowly going insane because she can't figure out riddles.
Yes,
is one of my favorite B plots in this. It's like the most Lisa Simpson-esque she's ever been.
Yes. It's really good, actually.
Yeah, I was actually waiting for a chance to bring that up. Thank you for your...
Yeah, I think that is possibly the individual character best arc.
I really like the self-help book thing where it's like, are you in a room filled with furniture that's trying to eat you?
Yes.
Then I can't help.
And then it goes into his pocket and puts an out to lunch sign on.
Eustace tries hitting it with a hat.
Yes, that's really good. Everyone's using aggressive tactics, hitting it with real shit, and then you cut to Eustace just hitting it with the hat, and it's like getting discouraged by that somehow. It's really good.
I love that he leaves the movie for 30 minutes and announces it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a more fuel for this is the villain, right?
I also really appreciate how other people in that room defend themselves against the chair. Meanwhile, Courage just picks up Muriel and runs in circles. Very Courage core.
Yep.
Yeah, that car chase, though. That was insane that it just kept going.
that truck's so much better than their van.
They clearly are prepping for that Fast and Furious crossover.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, this was a shorter film and, a little bit fewer things to say about this than our usual content for the spoiler cast because it's not, say, an animation nightmare or a script that is a train wreck.
Yeah, it's not really, really bad.
Yeah, it's not fascinatingly bad or bad at all. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to say before we end this?
No, I'm good.
Bark, bark.
I'm fine.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and start. I thought this was really excellent. I would absolutely line up to check out more of these if they just keep making them. As both a Scooby-Doo fan and a Courage fan, there was so much good fan service for Courage, and the characters were very faithful to themselves, which sometimes you end up with these Scooby-Doo movies where it's not the case. I own Scoob on 4K Blu-ray. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and give this an 8 out of 10. Shockingly hilarious the whole way through. Surprisingly good. Only underwhelming on the animation side a couple times. And yeah, it was really, really fun. Absolutely. 8 out of 10. Let's go to Bob.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Like, I've missed Courage for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It was great to see it come back. I'm a huge fan of Scooby-Doo, especially when it's good and self-referential and understands what it is. And this is just that constantly. I'm going to give this a 9.
Nice.
It was really, really refreshing to see this. The only thing is that one thing of like, they could have had some better music for that scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like it.
Understandable. Next, we're going to go to Feel.
I really liked this. I'm not a huge fan of Scooby-Doo. I do like this and that, you know, like I like the WWE things and I liked what I saw of Mystery Incorporated. I haven't really watched the whole thing. And I like Courage a lot. So yeah, I'm going to give this an 8. I think it really works in a lot of ways.
And KZ.
Yeah, I like this a lot. This was consistently funny throughout where there was like a good bit happening every couple of minutes. It almost felt like. I like Courage and Scooby-Doo a lot, and I feel like it leveraged a good crossover where clearly they're going to lean on what they're crossing over with more, and Courage directly feeds into Scooby-Doo in a way that it felt really natural throughout. So yeah, I really like this. I'm giving it a 9.
Okay, that brings up the average to an 8.5. It got 34 points out of 40. Definitely recommendable, easily.
Oh yeah.
I think the only way you're going to have a bad time is if you paid $5 to rent it and you're like, that's just too much money to rent a movie.
I'm like, fucking, were you at Blockbuster?
That's how much it costs to rent on streaming services right now.
Yeah, like, I agree with the idea that that is too much to rent a digital movie.
I yes, that's the thing. Like, I totally agree with someone who feels like that, especially when it was like, hey, you can buy this on like physical release. I think it was DVD, so obviously it wouldn't look as good, but it was like physical release right now for like $10. And I'm like, then why am I paying $5 to rent a digital copy?
Yeah, it's upsetting they didn't make a Blu-ray. I would have paid $15 for a Blu-ray of this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Understandable. As someone who ended up with a 4K Blu-ray of Scoob, I could see buying this on normal Blu-ray.
Well, Dan,
huh?
I've got great news.
What's your great news?
It's thanks to that, we can put this to bed. Our highest rated piece of media is now this and not Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. It beat it by 3 points.
Oh, that's great news. That's great news.
That means that every piece of media that isn't a game that we have to review on a podcast
now has to live up to
the
standard.
Is a Scooby-Doo Courage the Cowardly Dog crossover movie they released on VOD.
Yeah, that seems fitting.
It does.
That seems fitting.